A war is being concluded today in his country. He is one of our brothers in Christ, and all of us are conscious of what's going on. I want us just to silently now, each person in his own way, dedicate ourselves to keeping in mind and heart and conscience the suffering people of that part of the world. And let us remember what is going on in the heart of a Christian like this, our brother. May we pause with heads bowed for just a moment and make this pledge to God and to one another. Amen.
Thank you.
Be seated. We are privileged to have some distinguished guests on our campus and with us in chapel today. President Cecil H. McConnell of the Baptist Theological Seminary in Santiago, Chile, and Mrs. McConnell are with us. Dr. McConnell is a graduate of Muskingum College in Ohio and Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. Reverend W.C. Lamb, Secretary of Evangelism for the Baptist State Convention of North Carolina, is going to be our guest speaker this morning. He is a graduate of Wake Forest College and Southern Baptist Seminary, 15 years, a successful pastor, a distinguished Baptist leader. Dr. McConnell will come now and lead us in our morning prayer. The choir will sing, and then Brother Lamb will come and bring the message of the morning.
As we look upon the world, our Heavenly Father, many times we're filled with dismay. When we look in upon ourselves, we realize that we are not adequate for the task that we face. But when in our mind's eye we look upward toward Thee, we realize that we have a gospel, an evangel, a good news, and we rejoice. As we come this morning before Thee, among the activities of the day, of study, of work, of planning, we do pray that we may receive from the power of the Holy Spirit that which we need for the task that lies ahead today and the days ahead. We do pray for that nation of Nigeria, and especially for those of the eastern part that feel, from their point of view, defeat. But we pray that they may find again in the idea of union a new hope and may go forward to make a greater nation, a nation where Christ Jesus will reign. We pray for our brethren there, and we pray for those who suffer in Nigeria and in many places of the world. We pray for our own problems here. We pray for Thy cause around the world. Oh God, for the faculty and the students of the seminary, we pray that they may have a world in their heart and Christ Jesus as the goal and the prompter, as the strength with which to carry out the purpose of the ages. O Holy Spirit of God, and might this morning we have a true worship experience. We pray through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
For the invitation and opportunity to worship with all of you again in this lovely chapel at Southeastern Seminary, I am most grateful. Evangelism for the particular now. Ephesians 5, verses 14 through 17. Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making most of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. If we as Christians are to become involved in evangelism for the particular now, we must overcome several false ideas which seem to be haunting and disturbing the minds of at least some church members. Namely, and first, the false idea that the gospel of Christ is outdated for our modern time. The good news will always be up to date and relevant because of the person of the gospel, Jesus Christ, and his teachings. Truth is never limited by the calendar of any century. Truth is never determined by what group of persons believe this or that. Truth is not determined by how many or how few persons believe it. Truth is determined by its source, God. From John 14:6, Jesus speaks, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. Second, the false idea that scientific advances of threatening the gospel of Christ. This is not true because the same God who sent his Son into this world also granted men the mental capacity to attain scientific achievements. Science is truly significant, yet related to the temporal. But our God and his gospel are related not only to the temporal, but also to the eternal. His truth will always be needed by men, even though many may choose to reject it entirely. In the midst of changes that are taking place as a result of scientific advances, and we certainly must not object to changes, the Christian must not be on the defensive, but must be on the offensive for Christ. Since man did not create God, even though many are playing the role of God today, we need to ask those who doubt the need of the church and Christ this pertinent question. Is your life relevant to the purpose of God who created you? Third, the false idea that adults and youth today do not want to identify totally with God. It is evident in the lives of thousands of people today, this tremendous emptiness of purpose. Dr. Viktor Frankl, a psychiatrist of Vienna, describes this emptiness of purpose in his writings as the collective neurosis of our time. And this is true. However, there are more persons, young and older,
searching for hope, reality, and truth than those who have buried their lives under the epitaph, "No meaning to life." A special survey over a 3-year period produced some startling facts. Out of 10,500 students on college and university campuses across America, 89% of these students stated in writing that they did not know how to become a Christian. And again, most of these stated in writing that they were searching for a genuine faith in God. Now, actually, this is an indictment upon Christians of all denominations, particularly those of us who are leaders in Christianity. We must not continue to be brainwashed into believing that youth and adults today do not want to totally identify their lives with Christ and God. For persons on every continent are responding to the truth of Christ in our generation. Unless Christians have the faith and courage to overcome these false ideas and others, they certainly will not become involved in evangelism for the particular now. Reflecting upon 21 years as an ordained minister, it is my honest conviction that in the past, Southern Baptists have not given sufficient time to the study of the biblical concept of evangelism as related to the continuous will of God for the individual Christian life. Evangelism is an absolute distinct facet of Christianity, yet at the same time interrelated with total Christianity. Total Christianity without evangelism today is spineless, insipid, weak, and dying. And in like manner, evangelism isolated and not interrelated with total Christianity is without meaning and true purpose. Too long we have interpreted the will of God only as faith commitment to Christ or a call to a church-related vocation, period. However, in the New Testament, there is revealed the concept of the continuous will of God for the individual Christian life. And hence, I believe firmly in the will of God in evangelism for the particular now. Evangelism for the particular now involves genuine concern by Christians for persons. Persons of all races. Persons who are not a part of the redemptive family of God. It is my observation that we as Christians today are more concerned about problems than we are about persons. And thus we have developed basic fears toward persons. And so we don't want to have anything to do much with persons today because we're afraid of people. However, when the magnitude of our faith in Christ to solve some of these problems through us, when the magnitude of our faith in Christ is greater than our fears of any problems, then Christ will begin to use our lives as Christians, and he will begin to give us real victory with some persons and some problems in our society. 1 John 5:4, "For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith." And 1 Timothy 1, 7 and 8, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." And our faith must increase beyond our fears of problems. And with this dynamic faith, and as we use our God-given sound minds to think properly, God will help us to be in the mainstream of solving some of the problems in our society. Evangelism for the particular now involves the willingness of Christians to communicate the good news of Christ with all types of peoples, the poor and the wealthy, the juvenile delinquent and the college student, the illiterate as well as the educated, the black and the Indian, the migrant and the businessman. It is very clear in 1 Corinthians 9, 19 through 22 that Paul was anxious to communicate with all persons. He was not a man of narrow vision. We must not be men of narrow vision. Verse 22, "I have become all things to all men that I might by all means reach some." And I believe Paul was concerned about the whole person. Evangelism for the particular now involves the honest concern of all Christians for the redemptive and social needs of men. There is no conflict in the teachings of the New Testament with regard to Christian social ministry as it relates to the needs of the total person when it is redemptive in purpose and Christian in motive and spirit. There is no conflict. Luke 4:18, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Christians need to develop a proper concern to witness and to minister to the social needs of persons of all races, and to work diligently toward eradicating any injustices toward the black, the poor, or any other minority groups in our society. In 1970 and the years to come, we who claim the name Christian must be alert to new ways to communicate the gospel to special groups of people and to help meet their social needs in life. This had to do with the total ministry of Jesus, the Son of God. And certainly as we close, the will of God in evangelism for the particular now involves renewal of the inward man in Christ. 2 Corinthians 4:16, "That the inward man may be renewed in Christ day by day." This is a result of genuine New Testament evangelism. Within the life of every Christian, there is always a real need for constant renewal of the inward man in Christ in the light of God's revealed truth. Not in the light of our culture, not in the light of our tradition only, but in the light of God's continued revealed truth. The true test of evangelism is not only one's firm belief in Christ, but also one's continuous right relationship with God and with his fellow man. Jesus verified this in John 8:31, "If you continue in my word, then you are truly my disciples, Matthew 7:21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. And then in 1 John 3:14-15, verses that we do not like to study and apply to life. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. It is my prayer that all of us will have a genuine desire to become involved in the will of God in evangelism for the particular now. May we bow our heads for the benediction. Eternal God, our loving Heavenly Father, forgive us when we have limited thy truth to our own interpretation and understanding. Help us, O God, to never be men of narrow vision. But may we always have an openness to the Holy Spirit and a keen desire to really want to know thy continuous will for our individual lives. And may every professor and every student here also want to know the will of God in evangelism for the particular now. For this is a part of our Christian task. In the name of Jesus Christ, we humbly pray.